That's funny. I was just about to speak. I just wanted to tell you that I am seeing things here in this church that I have not seen for 2 years. Seeing light in people's eyes, seeing obedience to the scripture, seeing a broken family start to come together, serve one another, and love one another. And I know that there's always been a strong family here, but there have been a lot of hurts. And I've seen new hopes that I haven't seen before. And I just wanted to let you know how encouraging that is for me, but also to understand that as the messenger and as Bangor Liberty continues to grow stronger, as you continue to go to Wednesday programs and Sunday school and Bible study and prayer group, and just know that the devil is going to want to stop it, and he is trying. And know that as a messenger, my family is at the forefront of that. And so I just want to ask you to pray for us, because this last month was the hardest month we've ever had. But God's word stands strong. And I know that although I stand up here and deliver the message, I am not alone. And I know that you guys are praying for us. And please understand that your prayers are the most important, wonderful, meaningful gift that you could give my family and myself for our protection, for our safety, and for our growth. So please, please pray for us. There is definitely spiritual oppression. I will tell you this. And it's because you guys are growing. It's because you're changing. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would prepare our hearts for your message this morning, to receive the words that you have, the teachings. Open our hearts. Give us the strength and the courage to live by your word, as the Bible teaches holy living. Loving you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Amen. Well, as some of you know, this week I'm going to be at the junior high camp, and it's a very big privilege, I feel, because Chip couldn't find somebody else to speak, and so I was asked. And last year, it had been 7 years since I had been at camp, after, I don't know, it was like 8 years that I'd been there every year. And so it was a really great, great thing, and I'm really excited. And the camp theme this year is Rooted in Christ, and it comes from 1 Peter 1:23. It says, "For you have not been born of a perishable seed." It says you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of unperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. And I just want to talk about us being rooted in Christ. And there's a couple parts of this message. The first one today, you can see it's the vine and the branches. And being rooted in Christ, God uses compares us to plants all the time, doesn't he? Seeds. Right there in 1 Peter, he compares us to a seed. We are a new seed, born again. Not of a perishable seed, but of unperishable. He talks about comparing us to the grass. And then Jesus uses the analogy of the grapevine, the vine and the branches to teach. And I thought, you know, that's just really neat the way that God teaches how to be rooted in him and how he puts that picture out there for us. And I want to talk about the importance of being rooted in Christ because, you know, last week we were talking about my corn issues. And I was out there weeding and spent a lot of time trying to clean those things out because the corn's big enough to tell it apart from the weeds. And I was packing the dirt around the corn. And you guys know that corn has a compound root system. It's got the roots that go in the ground, but as the plant gets bigger, it gets these spider-looking legs coming out around the stalk that come above the ground and go into the dirt, and it's like, whew, plants it there. And so that the bigger the plant becomes, the more roots it requires to hold itself up. And I had put a bunch of dirt back around, because you know when you pull weeds, you pull dirt too, and the ground wasn't super dry, so I was pulling out some big clumps of dirt, shaking them back, and packing it back around the plant. And the wind was blowing my corn, and I went out there the next day to pull more weeds, because, you know, weeds just don't stop in your garden. And there was, you can see where the wind had blown the corn, and the corn had kind of made that hole real big. So there's like a perfect hole around the corn where you could probably stick a finger in there. That's how much the wind was blowing the corn. And so I was thinking about how important it is to be rooted in Christ. What are some steps to being rooted in Christ? And the first step that God was speaking to me is, first off, you have to plant a seed. Right? If you want something to grow, what do you have to do? Now, I know that you can germinate a seed by sticking it in a plastic bag with a little water. It'll get hot and it'll germinate, or you can put it in a paper towel. But what happens to those seeds? What happens after that seed germinates, that little root sprout starts coming out of the corn kernel? That's all it is. What happens if that seed isn't in the ground? It's not rooted in anything, and it can't grow. I want to look at Matthew chapter 13. And this is Christ teaching about planting. Chapter 13, we're going to start with verse 3, and we're going to read through verse 8. And this is the parable that Christ uses. He says, "And then he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown." What's Jesus teaching about planting seeds here? What's he saying? What did you say, Margaret? Soil is important. You have to be careful where you plant them. You have to have good seed to soil content. Is that what you said? Contact. Good seed to soil contact. You got to plant it right. Can't plant it too deep. Can't plant it too shallow. Christ uses the term good soil, right? Now, we know that to become rooted in Christ, you have to have Christ in your heart, right? We're talking about becoming rooted in your faith in Jesus Christ. Now, that takes a seed, and we know that Christ is that seed. Now, we know that we can ask Jesus Christ into our hearts, and that's sowing the seed. But just because you ask Christ in your heart does not mean you are rooted in him, does it? Just because you ask Christ in your heart doesn't mean that that's going to grow. Because as he says here, some of it fell among the thorns in it, or some of it fell where it was shallow. The soil is shallow and it sprung up really quickly, but there was nothing to support it. I've done that before. Get all excited about Jesus Christ, but my seed wasn't planted right. And it sprung up and then that was it. So what he's saying here is, like, the seed is important. You have to plant Jesus Christ in your heart. That's where your faith begins. But that's not where it ends. The soil has to be right. The soil has to be prepared. You guys know that when you go out to plant your fields, now let's go back a few years. Let's go back 20 years, you know, with the cyclo planters. Anybody ever use one of those? Isn't that what they're called? We had a cyclo planter. That's what we planted our corn with. And it had an air drum. And it blew the corn, the kernels through these little, the craziest little thing. There's a drum on the back, and it would rotate, and the kernels would fall down in these little holes, and then air would blow them out there. And as the drum came down, there would be four rows, and then the air would release, and those kernels would fall down in the row. But the planter, you know, today we've got all these no-till things. These planters, you had to cultivate. First, you had to plow everything under. You couldn't just disc it up, but you had to plow under the corn stalks. And after you did that, then you had to disc up the plow. You had to disc it one way. And then you had to disc it another way. And then you had to at least harrow it. Sometimes you had to harrogate it, depending on, some people had cold mulchers or field compactors or something, but you had to get the soil just right because of the seed. Seed needed that habitat to grow in. Now, as our corn becomes more and more produced, we can just plant it in the ground and spray everything. It doesn't kill the corn anymore. But God is saying that Jesus is teaching that the ground has to be right. Now, what's our ground for planting that seed? I already said it once. Where do we plant the seed of Jesus Christ? In our hearts. That's our ground. So it would make sense that for that seed to stick in our heart has to be cultivated, right? It has to be prepared. That's the first part. The first part, planting the seed, making sure your heart's prepared so that seed can get in there and take root. And the second thing, what happens to that seed? How does that seed grow? Nourishment. Thank you, John. What happens if you plant a seed and like he said, you put it on rock? What happened? There was no nourishment there, was it? There was no food there. What happens if I plant my garden and it doesn't rain? There's going to be no germination. There's going to be no plants growing up if the ground is dry. Seeds aren't going to sprout. So to have those roots, you have to feed yourself. You have to feed your faith in Jesus Christ. And so let's go to what Jesus teaches in John chapter 15. John chapter 15, this is where Christ and his disciples have left the upper room. They've had the supper. They've done the communion. This is the night that Jesus Christ is betrayed. And he says, at the end of 14, it says, come now, let's leave. And they walk out, and as they're walking, they come across a vineyard, because this is wine country, isn't it? He's going to use the analogy of the grapevine, because everybody there knows what a grapevine is. They know how it works. Plenty of vineyards. So I'm going to explain a little bit about it after I read, because to me, it was really foreign to me. Grandma had a grapevine. Some people have grapevines, but if you're not a vine dresser, if you're not the gardener, you don't really understand how grapevines work, how delicate they are. Now, I'm sure that if Christ would use the analogy of a corn stalk, we'd get it with no problems. Let's start with verse 1. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Now the grapevine, Jesus is probably holding a branch in his hand, but the grapevine is made up of a couple parts. It has the vine. Now oftentimes I think that I confuse the branches as the vine because they're long and stringly. That's not the vine. The vine is this gnarly trunk coming out of the ground. You guys know grapevines, they kind of twist and turn, and it comes up about, I don't know, 3 or 4 feet, depending on how high you put it, how old the vine is. But you've got this gnarly grapevine, it's like the trunk of a tree. And then out of the top of that, it gets even more gnarly, and all these branches come out. And these long branches, they spread out, and that's why you have to have a trellis, because the branches can't support themselves. They'll just run along the ground. But a grapevine will never produce very good fruit if it runs on the ground, because the branches are very needy. They get close to the ground, they get muddy, they get dirty, they get moldy, and they can't produce. And so that's why we put them up on trellis. And so Jesus is saying that what part of this whole grape producing apparatus is he? He is the vine. He says that in verse 5, I think. He says, I am the vine. Also in verse 5, what does he say about us? We are the branches. So Christ is the part of the tree. You guys know that the tree, we've got these trunks. Now, I don't usually look at a tree and I say, wow, that's a nice trunk. Man, look at the girth on that thing. Look at the bark texture. No, I say, wow, that's a big canopy. Look at those beautiful leaves. Look at those colored leaves. Look at the apples on that apple tree. Jesus says here that the part of the grapevine that God delights in is the part that bears the fruit. And that's the branches, and that's us. So Jesus Christ is the part, as a very, very intricate part of the grapevine, but he's not the part that God delights in the most. Christ, just like that vine, all of those branches hook into that vine. What does he say happens if a branch isn't connected into that vine? It withers. Thank you, man. That's the exact word that he uses. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Okay, so we planted the seed. cultivated our hearts. And then we have to be fed. Now the world is going to try to feed you from a whole bunch of different troughs, aren't they? They're going to say, connect over here, connect over here. You can bear fruit. You'll flourish if you connect in here. But Christ says that if we're not connected to Him, the vine, we will never bear fruit and we will immediately wither. And that's a truth that we have been fighting since Jesus Christ came and taught this. And that's the truth that we can be alive apart from Him. The truth is that we cannot be alive apart from Jesus Christ, but the world is saying that we can. Jesus says, you cannot bear fruit, let alone live without me. So we have to be connected into Jesus Christ. So we have to know that we got to feed that seed. When you plant that seed in the ground, you got to feed it specific things. You don't pour antifreeze on it. You don't pour oil on it. You don't put Roundup on a not Roundup ready bean, do you? What happens? You have to plant it, you give it specific fertilizers, you give it specific water. It needs a specific ground temperature. You know, too cold, it's going to freeze. Too hot, it's going to burn up. We have to feed ourselves specifically from the vine if we want to bear fruit for God. And the truth is that if you're not connected into Jesus Christ, you're withered. I want to talk about that more next week. Are you guys getting this? About being rooted in Jesus Christ? Does it make sense that to be rooted in Christ, we have to pull our nourishment from Christ? Man, for years I tried to pull my nourishment from other things like the TV. It didn't work. I wasn't producing any fruit. Man, I'm laying on the ground watching TV. Oh man, this is the life. Didn't know I was dead. Didn't know I was getting ready to be picked up and thrown into the fire and burned like it says on 6. Now there's one part I want to read on, and I want to show you guys something that just really hit me like a 2x4 this week. Verse 9, it says, as the Father has loved you, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. That last verse. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you. My joy. And your joy may be complete. What do we search after in the world? Why do we search after all these different things to be fed? Because we want to produce fruit. Don't we want to flourish in life? Don't we want to feel good? Aren't we beings of pleasure? God gave us senses. Isn't joy a good feeling? And so we search after joy, and we search after all these things, and we believe when the world says, hey, if you succeed here, you're going to feel good. If you buy this, you're going to feel good. If you do this, if you marry her, if you give into this, you're going to feel good. But the truth is, that's never enough. You always got to do something more, and your joy is never complete. And the reason is because the world tells us that joy is something small. The world tells us joy is the same thing as pleasure. The world tells us joy is the same thing that it can provide, and that's a lie because joy is so much greater because joy that we desire comes from Jesus Christ, doesn't it? The only place you will ever find your joy to be complete is in Jesus Christ, and the only way to do that is to be connected in the vine. Isn't that exciting to hear Jesus say that I've told you this so that my joy, the joy of Jesus Christ, can be in me? If I plug into Him, why am I going to all these other places trying to fill myself up when the truth is that those are all lies? And if I just plug into the vine, get my nourishment from Christ, I can have joy. I can have joy that can be completed. No more searching. No more getting loans to buy things. No more watching the TV. No more living in games or living in TV shows. But I can have joy, true joy. Complete joy that comes from the vine. What a cool thing to know. You want to be happy? You want to produce fruit? You want to live up to what God created you to be? You want to bear that fruit and God is going to delight in you? And to do that, you have to first plant the seed. Cultivate the ground. Cultivate your heart to receive that seed and then give it a habitat that it can grow in. get your nourishment from the vine. Now, there's a lot of ways that we can tap into the vine, aren't there? Prayer. The Bible. Funny, this Bible keeps coming up more and more every Sunday, doesn't it? How important it is. Fellowship. I'm going to tell you right now, this is great coming here to worship, but on Wednesday nights, you will be in a completely intimate atmosphere. It's wonderful to be fed from one another. I love Wednesday nights because, hey, it's a chance for me to be fed, to get nourished from the vine. So that's the first part to being rooted in Christ. Planting the seed, cultivating the ground, and understanding that for that seed to grow, you have to be connected to Christ. Pull your nourishment from Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for teaching us in ways that we can understand, like the analogy of the grapevine, that you are the vine and we are the branches, and that for us to produce and for us to live, that we have to come from you, that you are the only source of life and you are the only source of nourishment, and that in being rooted in you and seeking that only from you, we can find complete joy, your joy, a joy that the world has been searching for generations and generations. And you will give it to us. We thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the things that you teach us in this Bible that encourage us, that show us the way. Amen.